This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM channel 371.
I'm Art Packer. That is the sickly, deathly ill.
Stop.
I'm going to tell you something. This has been...
What, you started this?
I did start this, and I feel awful for it, because Robert, our man, he's sick with the flu.
Right.
You're getting sick. I'm still sick. Unfortunately, Mrs. P is sick and had gallstones yesterday as she was rushed to the emergency room. We got it going on at the Packer household. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Chester's got an injury this morning.
He's okay, seemingly.
I guess. We're going to have to take, I got to take him to the vet at 10. So it's been a crazy week, and I hate that you're getting sick because you got business to attend to. Games to do.
That's all right.
Put some dirt on it, right?
The game goes on.
That's right.
It. Yeah.
But nevertheless, other than that, are you okay?
Yeah. Let's play ball. We got a box here today. We got more presents have been delivered here to the basement. Another box, apparently from Charlottesville. We got an unbelievable show today. Keith Gavin, the Pitt wrestling coach, is going to join us. The Friday night duels tonight.
Pitt, Virginia.
Speaking of Virginia, Lars Tiffany will be here.
One of our favorites.
Show today. Yeah,
one of our national champ.
Yep. And a guy who made a career decision. For those of you that have never heard, Lars Tiffany made one of the most unbelievable career decisions in life. He was at Robert Louis Stevenson High School, Monterey, California, as a teacher and a coach, right?
Yep.
And had an apartment at Pebble Beach.
Yeah, this is one of our first interviews with him
ever,
and it floored us to the point where, like, dude, you mean you left
that
to become a lacrosse coach or whatever you were doing?
He was teaching at Robert Louis Stevenson High School, which is inside the Pebble Beach compound,
right,
in Monterey, California.
So he could look out his window and see.
Was it 14?
I can't remember
one
which
of the holes,
hole.
But all I know is this. He had an apartment. He could walk out. He said he could play pebble for basically nothing.
Spyglass,
the whole bit. I'll go coach lacrosse somewhere in the Northeast and freeze.
Right.
Come on.
And me and you were looking at each other like
what are you doing?
What a terrible career decision.
Career decision.
He's a real gregarious dude. And if you've not seen or heard Lars before, he's tremendous. And we were thrilled for him winning a national championship last year, but their season gets underway this weekend. Of course, lacrosse season. You got the women's lacrosse season getting cranked up, too.
That's right.
Five ACC teams ranked in the top 10. I mean, the league's loaded again in lacrosse.
We also have Patrick Williams, the outstanding freshman from Florida State's basketball team, that's going to join us. He's
from here?
Charlotte.
Yeah.
That's right. Had a big game Monday night against Carolina. We'll talk to him. And, of course, the Noles not only play Miami tomorrow at noon, here on ACC Network, Dave O'Brien, Jordan Cornette, Katie George will be there Monday night. The battle for basically one of those spots up in the front when they visit Duke. And that's big Monday on ESPN, Monday night, 7 o'clock.
Quite a weekend for the Blue Devils, right? At North Carolina, and here come the Noles. We're going to get into all of that.
Jay Billis is going to join us. And a gentleman who, dare I say, he's one of two that I know of right now that have seen virtually pack every Duke Carolina game since the early 1970s.
And he's a guy, if you've watched a ton of ACC basketball on television,
you know who he is.
Well, you're going to see his picture and see him and go, so that's who that guy is.
That's exactly right.
You've seen him hundreds of times during ACC basketball
Raleigh,
games.
Raleigh, Winston.
Right.
Chapel Hill, Durham, Virginia. But more in the state of North Carolina often than not.
Right.
But he and another guy who used to work with you back in the day, John Madry, will sit to the left of Dan Shulman tomorrow night. John Madry's going to see another Duke Carolina game, but Fred Kiger will be with us. He is by trade a history teacher, history professor. He's worked in high schools in North Carolina, the university, that kind of thing. But he is an unbelievable resource when you start trying to chronicle Duke Carolina.
Right.
And fascinating guy, and we're looking forward to visiting with Fred Kiger. Jay Billis will join us via phone. Baldman on campus tonight. Apparently, Eric Montross is going to join the guys, is what Greenberg said with us. So we got a busy show. And your calls, 844-SAY-ACC. And I think we got plenty here today for a Friday.
And to start things off, it was a ladies' night last night. And lo and behold, did we have a little surprise. Once again, it doesn't matter if it's the men or the women. Florida State goes to Louisville and wins.
Yeah, they do.
And I know we're 6 days away from the showdown between Louisville and NC State. And the Cards were undefeated until last night when Florida State said, not tonight. Yeah. It's our turn.
Well, friend of the show, Kai Gillespie, 25 points, 13 rebounds, 10th double-double of the year, the 23rd of her career. There's Kai from the perimeter. Florida State won by 8. That is a tremendous win.
Sure is.
For Sue Semeraud's team.
No question about it. And the Cards struggled early.
Yep.
I mean, you only put up 17 points in the first half. It tied for the fewest in the half the last 3 years, ironically also against Florida State. But then also apparently have got Florida State's got Louisville's number for whatever reason this year at the Yum Center. And people are going to talk a lot, I'm sure, about the national team coming in there and maybe that takes some. Hey, you know what? You got to come play every night.
Yep.
And, you know, Coach K was with us yesterday and talked really about, you know, the championship teams treat everybody that, hey, you know what? Everybody's going to give them their best shot. Jeff Pauls has been down this road before.
Yep.
He knows, their players know that every time Louisville takes the court, they're catching everybody's best shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida State's been one of those teams, despite some losses, they're still a really quality team. We thought they were going to be good before the season. They still are.
Yeah, so it's a great win for Sue Semeraud and the Noles, and still doesn't take any of the shine off of what NC State and Louisville have next week. Speaking of Wes Moore's team, the Wolfpack last night win in Blacksburg, 71-59, and needless to say, Alyssa Cunane, 17 points, 16 rebounds, Pack, to lead NC State to the win over Kenny Brooks's Hokies.
And we talked yesterday that this had to be one of those kind of games that NC State had to be laser focused. You can't be worrying about what's coming down the road.
Right.
You got to go take care of business. And Virginia Tech's been very good at home. This was an impressive win, in my opinion, for NC State, given the fact of what coulda, woulda, and shoulda, right? Mm-hmm. You just don't want to get ahead of yourself. Good. Really good teams focus on the task at hand.
Yep.
But that NC State Louisville thing next Thursday is for real.
By the way, NC State is off until that game. Does not
play. That was such an important W.
So nice win for the Wolfpack. Duke beat Carolina on the ladies' card last night, 71-61. That's a game you saw here on ACC Network last night.
How unbelievable. And what we're about ready to tell you, you're going to think we're making this up. We know what's coming up tomorrow, right? With Duke and North Carolina. We've given you the stats with the men. The last 100 games, it's 50-50, same amount of points. I mean, you couldn't script it in a million years to come up, but that's what Duke and North Carolina do. Well, guess what? The ladies now take care of business and do their thing last night at Cameron Indoor, and you're not going to believe what the series record is now after 100 games. Yeah, you got it. 50-50. What is it about Duke and North Carolina, Wes, when it comes to hoops?
It's crazy, though.
I mean, how
absolutely crazy.
Bonkers is that?
It's nuts. By the way, Haley Gorecki, 25 last night.
An important win for Duke from a NCAA tournament perspective. That was a really important
win. I got to share this with you. And you see the at Duke MBB stats note yesterday on Twitter. That's crazy, by the way. Nuts, right?
50-50, men, women. The women's first 100, the men's last 100. It's 50-50 with Duke and North Carolina. That's why it's such a great rivalry.
Also last night, Syracuse 10-point win over Boston College. Georgia Tech got back on the winning side.
Needed to.
Yeah, cut loose the losing streak. They beat Pittsburgh last night.
And Pitt's really struggled.
By 29.
Yeah.
Virginia, a 16-point winner against Clemson. And Notre Dame beat Wake Forest, second in a row for Muffet McGraw's team.
Signs of life, which is good. And when we had Muffet on the show, two weeks ago, we just kind of said, hey, listen, you're a great coach, Hall of Famer. You know, take a deep breath. You're going to, you know, there's rescue coming around the corner. Mm-hmm. They're going to be back. Just one of those kind of years. You can't lose that much production.
Right.
And expect not to miss a beat. She's a great coach.
Yep.
Notre Dame basketball, from the women's perspective, will be back.
Yeah. So interesting night on the ladies' card. We set ourselves up for a big night and a big weekend on the men's side. Now, I want to preface this by saying this came out yesterday, and we beat it around a little bit with on our production emails and texts and that kind of thing. This has been issued. This came from Nike, okay? So we have every reason to believe, that this is going to happen, okay? Neither school, I don't think, am I right, Drew and Josh, neither school has confirmed this yet, correct? Is that right? I want to make sure I'm correct on this. Okay. Jordan Brand tweeted this out yesterday. So here is tomorrow night's jerseys for Duke and Carolina. Now, I'm guessing, which is trouble, assuming, and y'all know what happens when you assume, that the number will go below the block logos. There's not going to be a number on the front, I'm now being told.
You know what they need? A match. That's what those two need.
A match?
A match.
To light them on fire?
To light them on fire. Are you kidding me? I mean, North Carolina's unis are, and I have this conversation on radio, especially in football season.
Sure we do.
There are certain schools in America.
How in the way
that should never, let me emphasize the word never.
I think you have to have a number on the front. I think it's a rule.
How about you don't touch North Carolina's jersey? It is as pure as it gets.
I was really kind of hoping for the Gothic Navy blue
and
over
the
there.
Duke ones are tremendous. Not those. I'm talking about the ones you're talking about, the Gothic ones.
Yeah.
Sweet. But the North Carolina home jersey.
Even the old school ones look good.
I love the old ones. But that is ridiculous. I'm sorry. If that costs us a Nike sponsorship, so be it. Those were ugly as you know what.
Well, here's the premise behind
it. I hope that's a bad rumor.
No, I don't think it is.
On Twitter.
No, I don't think it is, and here's why.
We know when you wear that game. Here's where you wear that jersey. When you're playing Abilene Christian.
Well, here's the kind of deal.
In Hawaii.
This is the
2 a.m.
This is the 100th anniversary of the Duke Carolina series.
I get it. So we need a new jersey?
No, we're going to have a ceremonial. They first played January 24th, 1920. And this is 2020, close to January 24th.
No, they missed it. How about that? I hate those. I got to be honest with you. Those stink. Stink.
Well, the 1920s teams at both institutions, Carolina, who won the 24 national title awarded by the Helms Foundation, had a block letter NC on the jersey. So I understand that.
Those are terrible.
The block D in Duke, Duke used to have an old English D for years, and then the block, kind of the cross of old English and Gothic took over.
You know what? Those look like somebody lost a bet.
Well, now, apparently, let me also say this.
Hope this is a terrible rumor.
Well,
I hope that when we turn on the game tomorrow night, they're not wearing these, and we can feel better about
ourselves.
The
front of the jerseys, according to Nike, are characterized by the program logo and are absent of numbers. Now, I may be crazy here, but I thought you had to have numbers on the front because I thought that was like one of those NCAA kind of like rules of basketball deal. Now, there are all sorts of –
You can mess with those, man. That's so disappointing.
By the way,
you're not even giving me an opinion on this. You are riding the fence.
I'm not riding the fence on this, and here's why.
You know they stink. You know
I don't like them.
I'm looking you right in the eye and can tell you don't like
them. I don't like them. First of all, if you want to honor the 100th anniversary, again, I'll go back to what we've talked about, the ACC 75. Go back and find great jerseys from a special year. If you want to go back to the 100th, first of all, make something that's – And I know, look.
They're going to have a peach basket at the Smith Center tonight?
We all know, too, that there's some merchandising on the back end.
Well, who's going to buy those?
That's where you're wrong.
I'll tell you what. If I go to the mall, which I don't do very often.
Right.
And I see some kid wearing those.
Yeah.
I'll give him $20 and say, dude, go buy you a shirt. And don't walk around in public with those.
By the way, it hits the stores today.
Huh?
Hits the stores today.
Oh. Double thumbs down from the Packers.
Well, again, 844-SAY-ACCN.
Those are bad.
Just saying.
I'm not saying they're like NC State unitard bad, because those were bad. But those right there, given it's Duke and North Carolina.
You're not a fan.
I'm not a fan at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
And North Carolina, like I said, North Carolina's unis. I mean, there's certain.
They're pure.
They are as pure. For hoops,
pure.
Are as pure as it gets. Yeah. There are certain schools. Like Ohio State football jerseys.
Sure.
I know you guys are going to mess those up and wear black and all. And I know I'm not the dude you're, I'm not buying your stuff. I'm not. No, I'm 100 years old. I know that I'm not the target. But man, there are certain schools you don't mess with the jerseys.
That's right.
Now, if you're looking for attention, hey, garb it up all you want, man. But North Carolina Duke, you do not fall into that category.
By the way, I'm surprised they're wearing the colors, the stronger colors, tomorrow night like they are. But nonetheless.
Should wear burlap over those.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Somebody might have been eavesdropping on our
Somebody may break. Have heard yesterday on Twitter, somebody asked us if we were going to do Packer and Durham from Bank of America Stadium the day of the Rolling Stones tour. You believe they're going on tour again?
They are. They're going to Louisville. They're going to Charlotte. It'll be right in our backyard. I just told you a story. We'll get to you here in the phone calls too at 844-SAY-ACCN. I was just telling you a story that Billy, and I thought I'd heard all the Billy Packer stories. He gave us one during Thanksgiving that 30, 35 years ago, he was taking an international flight, and he sits down beside this guy.
First class.
It must have been.
Yeah, I guarantee it was.
And so he starts having a conversation with this gentleman beside him. He had no idea who he was. And they're going back and forth. What do you do? What do you do? Da, 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 all that stuff. And they land, and the guy hands Billy his business card and says, if I can ever be of help to you, please let me know. And Billy said, the guy was an incredibly well-spoken, smart, could talk about all kinds of subjects. I said, well, who was the guy? And Billy said, I had no idea who it was until I looked at his business card, and I just stuck it in my pocket, and I pulled it out later, and it turned out the guy's name was Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones. And Billy had no idea who it was.
Two things.
Classic.
Two things. One, Mick Jagger on a commercial flight.
True.
Two, why does Mick Jagger have a business card?
I don't know. Do you have a business card?
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, you don't need one.
I never thought
I
did.
What kind of card stock's that Mick Jagger business card on, and where is it?
I don't know.
Because as valuable as this tape is sitting here.
Oh, I know. Well, Billy doesn't hold on to any of that stuff. We're lucky we still got that tape behind you. But just, you know, we heard the stones in the ears right there. Just thought that was kind of funny.
I thought it was funny yesterday. Somebody tagged us on Twitter and wanted to know if we were going to do Packer and Durham from Bank of America Stadium.
Why not?
Oh, great. Here we go. I'm sorry, Drew. I'm sorry, Josh.
I mean, why wouldn't we?
Chrissy, I'm sorry.
I mean, we were talking.
I'm sorry, I'm starting.
We were talking with the coveted invite about the rumor earlier this week that the Stones are coming to Louisville, and they are. And she, you saw how excited the coveted invite got. Oh my God, Pack! You know she's coming. You know she's great.
Why don't we get Mick right here? Well, Keith Richard right here.
Why don't we have Billy just give him a call and go, hey, remember that conversation from 35 years ago?
Who would change clothes less, Mick or Jeff Collins?
Ah, that's a close call.
That's a close call.
Or me Monday sweating through four shirts.
I got an idea. Let's talk to Lewis in Virginia. Hi, Lewis. Good morning. Welcome to Packer and Durham.
Good morning, guys. I just want to say hooray for Mark Packer for pointing out the issue on the Carolina jerseys. I've been watching Duke and Carolina since 1957. That jersey is sacred. And thanks, Mark, for pointing that out. Have a nice day, guys.
All right. Appreciate that very much. I
thank you, Lewis.
I'm taking no credit for this because I
appreciate
think I would
call.
Speak for 99% of North Carolina basketball fans that saw that picture and went, yikes. Can't wear those. Seriously, you can't wear those.
Oh, yes, you can.
I mean, you're going to wear those, apparently, but really,
yes, you
should never, ever touch North Carolina's basketball jerseys. I don't even want to look at them. Seriously. I want to look at the screen.
Is anybody else kind of curious to the light blue, royal blue on the floor tomorrow night and what that looks like?
By the way, speaking of wearing...
Is anybody else curious about that other than me?
Speaking of wearing clothes
and no number on the
color
front.
Scheme,
yeah.
Real quick, yesterday Holly Rowe was with me on off campus.
Sure.
And Holly's going to cover the game for the first time. She's never covered North Carolina and Duke, which surprises me. But so she says, Pack, here's what I'm working on. I said, okay. She goes, I want to ask you questions as opposed to you asking me. I said, all right, whatever you want to do. So she's going back and forth and she's now, by the way, this is really complicated because blue is my favorite color, and I don't know which shade of blue to wear to the game. And I said, well, given the fact that I am such a fashionista, I said, first thing I think of. Yeah. Clothing and me, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I said, given that situation, Holly, I would highly suggest that you wear neither shade of blue.
How about red?
It's funny you should say that. So she says, I'm going to wear red. I said, well, here's the second issue I'd have with you. Do not wear red. Because the one thing Duke and North Carolina fans will absolutely agree on is you come rolling in there to cover that game wearing the NC State red and white. That won't flow. So, Holly, of course, it's been kind of a running joke on our afternoon show of all the elements that she's had to deal with and then going to Nordstrom Rack or wherever to lay her up. So she's very concerned about what to wear tomorrow night. I said, well, don't go light blue, don't go dark blue, and don't wear red. Anything else you can get by with.
By the way, today is National Wear Red Day.
Well, thank goodness the game's not tonight.
Yeah.
I tell you what is tonight. North Carolina and NC State wrestling tonight.
Yeah.
It's not on our network.
No, we have we got Pitt and Virginia. Yeah.
Right. But North Carolina and NC State are getting after tonight in a duel.
Grapplers.
Oh, I'm telling you, I've been into it.
Some grappling going on. It also starts a big weekend of basketball. And while Duke Carolina is obviously the headliner, at least of the weekend.
Louisville, Virginia.
Virginia, Louisville might be. You going to say the most important game of the weekend?
Yes. Yes.
I think so. I think so.
Yes.
I mean, when you start to think about where Louisville is and kind of the Cards spot, remember now, this is the group at the top of the chart, okay? They've got a two-game lead on Duke and Florida State in the win column at 11-1. So the Cards keep rolling here. That's a big deal.
Well, Duke Carolina is going to get the headline because it's Duke and Carolina.
Sure, but
we've known the year North Carolina has, and it's such an uphill climb for them to get in the tournament. However, this game, Louisville and Virginia, is the one that's got all kinds of juice because for the Hoos,
right.
You know, fresh off of knocking off Florida State at home 2 weeks ago, they have one of those quote-unquote opportunities that we keep talking about for the glob when you take on somebody that's got a ranked got a number beside them as a ranked team. And for Louisville, you know what? They got an opportunity to kind of position themselves that, hey, you know, everybody's got to come catch us. I mean, Duke and Florida State are still rearview mirror when they look down the, you know, the schedule and so forth. So, yeah, I think of all the games this weekend, truly, Duke North Carolina gets the hype, but the most important one is going to be right there in Kentucky.
Well, here's the other part. You mentioned the Glob Championship. Virginia is 7-4 in the league, and they're a full game ahead of Syracuse.
Right.
And you know, that kind of leads into the Orange, and they've had, you know, they got Wake Forest tomorrow night. But Virginia needs the win, number one, resume. Number two, again, the fight for four is going to be real here. And Syracuse is in it, and so is NC State, and to a degree, so is Notre Dame right now. But you cannot fall further behind or hope that Virginia, you know, adds another game and a half to the margins. So that's why Virginia-Louisville tomorrow is as big as maybe Duke Carolina in many respects. Let's also throw the Cuse up there tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost two in a row following what had been five-game win streak.
Right.
Now all of a sudden they get Wake Forest, who, by the way, played better the other night.
Well, played first half, played out of sight.
Right.
I mean, really, really good.
And a tough turn for Danny Manning being at Louisville and now at the Dome.
That's going to play everybody, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, you know, I mean, it is what it is.
But you got to find a way if you're Wake Forest. And this is a big game for Syracuse, who, you know, in many respects, after a week off, needs Elijah Hughes to kind of get on track. Buddy Boeheim, they need to start scoring the ball again.
And, Wes, it's not a game that is going to enhance Syracuse's NCAA tournament by beating, you know, bid to get in. But it's the kind of game you just got to win these kind of games. It's kind of like what NC State did the other night at Miami.
Yep.
That if you're going to get into the dance, those are the kind of games you got to rack up some W's until you get that quote-unquote opportunity against teams of note. So a really important game for Syracuse, needless to say.
By the way, Dan Dockett, Jason Benetti will be at the KFC Yum Center. Mike Monaco, Dan Bonner. That's a game, by the way, you can see on ACC Network. Wake and Syracuse tomorrow night. 12 noon game is Miami at Florida State. 8 o'clock is Wake Syracuse. Other games on the card tomorrow.
And real quick, though, with Miami and Florida State. You know, this is one of those quick Saturday, Monday turnarounds. And when you start talking about Duke, Florida State coming up,
right?
If you're the Noles, Mm-hmm. You know, Miami played you tough the first go around. You cannot be looking ahead to say, hey, can't wait to see Duke Blue, right? I mean, you got to take care of your business. In Miami, I think I just got to get healthy. I mean, it's I said the other day that Jim Larranaga's an amazing job just keeping that bunch together, given the fact their backcourt has just been beat up and gone. Yeah. So if you're Florida State, you can't look ahead.
Georgia Tech at Pitt, and then Sunday night, we got BC Virginia Tech tomorrow at noon. And then Georgia Tech-Pittsburgh is 2 o'clock. And then Sunday night, Notre Dame at Clemson. Irish have won 3 straight.
Georgia Tech-Pitt's got glob special written all over it.
Yeah. Notre Dame-Clemson, Georgia Tech-Pitt might be the glob game of the week.
Yep.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Baseball's a game of failure. There's lots of highs, lots of lows.
We just had to find a way to punch somebody in the nose and make them realize that we weren't going to let them take our lunch money anymore. They were going to have to earn it.
We knew what we were there to do.
You could just feel it. You could feel something coming on.
Excited about 86 to Omaha, Sunday night, 9 o'clock here on ESPN and the ACC Network.
Yeah.
What an unbelievable documentary chronicling Brian O'Connor's walk to the national championship.
And keep in mind, too, it was such a big deal for the league. I mean, it was great for Virginia, but it was incredible for the league.
Right.
Because as tremendous as baseball has been in this conference.
The players and the coaches and everything else.
Crazy good.
Yeah.
1955 was the last time the Atlantic Coast Conference had won the national championship in baseball, and that was Wake Forest.
Right.
Until Virginia pulled that off, which to me is one of the most – I mean, everybody used to make a big deal about Clemson's inability to win in Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
And I always kept saying, hey, you know what? North Carolina's always been better in that game. But what's even more amazing to me in terms of the streak until Virginia won it a couple years back – was how many times the Atlantic Coast Conference got to Omaha and did not close the deal.
That's right.
But, man, the Hoos
named the schools.
Oh, I know.
A lot of them.
Really good. Really good.
Virginia, by the way, is not only the site of 1186 to Omaha, which you can see Sunday nights, also the site of Friday night duels. Pittsburgh is in town. Keith Gavin, the head wrestling coach at Pittsburgh, joined us yesterday, and his team comes off a tough loss in a duel with NC State last week. But Pack and I asked him yesterday is – you know, what'd you learn from the match?
Yeah, it was a good match. I mean, obviously we came up on the wrong end of that, but that was some high-level wrestling, and it was, you know, it was here at Pitt, so I think the fans certainly saw a good duel. And as far as what I learned from the team, we saw some progress, I think, that we, you know, we got after it a little bit, and we just made a few technical mistakes, but those are very fixable. So, you know, we're bummed we lost, but there was definitely some positive takeaways from that duel.
It's readily evident, though, Coach, that this is a league where it might not have a lot of inventory in terms of schools, but the quality is really, really good in this league when it comes to wrestling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a fun conference to be in, because every week now, you know, there's going to be a tightly contested duel meet. And the funny thing is that it's happened pretty fast. You know, the ACC in wrestling has gotten really good, really fast. And it's really just a testament to all the universities, their athletic administrations, you know, trying to be good in all sports. And that's what you're seeing right now in wrestling.
You speak to that, obviously from two perspectives. One, done a marvelous job at Pittsburgh. You guys are hosting the ACC Wrestling Championship later this year. But at the same time, you and your associate head coach both have prior ties to another ACC school at Virginia. So you've seen it from a couple different venues. Does that help now in your own shop, I guess, with Pitt?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, I've coached at a few different places you know, my assistant Jordan Lean and I have both coached at the University of Virginia, and every place is different, but there's also some similarities. So you learn from everywhere you've been, and you try to apply it to what we're doing now.
All right. So for folks that are going to be dialed in, all right, going to check out Pitt Virginia Wrestling, give us two or three guys to keep an eye on for folks who've not seen anything when it comes to ACC wrestling so far.
Yeah, well, I think on both sides we have some pretty talented wrestlers, and there's going to be good matches. I think the 141-pound weight class and the 157-pound weight class, those two matches in particular, were what we would call swing matches. You know, if we win those, we should probably win the duel, and I'm sure Virginia's feeling the same way. But like I said, up and down the lineup, there's some really good individuals and some really good matchups.
All right, well, tell us about Demetrius Thomas, because I hear Demetrius Thomas kind of commands the room, so to speak. Obviously, in the heavyweight division, he's a very talented young man in terms of his wrestling. I think he's top 10 nationally in the class, but he's also a guy that that really locks in with the crowd, right?
Yeah, he's certainly a fan favorite. You know, he's a big guy that that is very active, and I think in wrestling you're used to seeing a lot of action in the lighter weights, but once you get up to the heavyweights, it's a little more you know, pushing and shoving and trying to jockey for position. But Demetrius is he wrestles like a lightweight, and people love to see that, and he puts out a ton of effort every time out there. So he's very good, but he's also he brings a lot of energy to the dual meet, and like I said, over the last couple of years, he's become a real fan favorite for us.
Coach, this is the first time we've had you on the show, and I find you already after the first couple of minutes to be kind of mild-mannered, calm, cool, collected, and then the back of my mind tells me, this is wrestling, man. These are a bunch of the toughest dudes that you're ever going to come across. So what are you on game day? All right. I know we're going to see this thing tonight and you're chilling right with us, but are you a raving lunatic, or is this what you see on match day? We're 20 minutes away from starting this thing.
Yeah. No, I try not to be a raving lunatic, but I think that, you know, I think that having it's just my personality to be a little more calm and, but I also think that it's helpful, you know, especially in wrestling. It's a very personal sport because it's one-on-one, you know, so it's just you out there. And so if I'm freaking out in the corner and our guy's depending on me and he's looking over there and, you know, he's not going to be able to relax in the heat of the moment if I'm not.
Yeah. Coach, I want to ask you about what you just mentioned. Wrestling is a one-on-one sport. And yet, I think one of the tasks that you have and other coaches at the collegiate level do, and I'll use golf as another example like this too, maybe even the track and field folks, you've got to take an individual effort and make it a team concept. How does that work for you? What's your philosophy? How do you incorporate guys to say, hey, I need you to do this, but keep it in a team concept?
Yeah, I think that it's certainly tricky, but, you know, it's part of what's fun about coaching, wrestling, and I'm sure those other sports feel the same way, but you have a bunch of individuals that, you know, they're all different. So you kind of find out what makes each one of them tick and you know, how to, you know, motivate, for lack of a better term, each individual guy. And they also have some technical areas that you need to work on, and so it's just a constant process of trying to get your guys to reach their full potential. And then as far as the team thing, it's contagious. You know, if we have guys in there doing the right things as far as their work ethic and the way they're living outside the wrestling room, that's just going to spread throughout the teams. And that comes in from recruiting. You know, we got to bring the right kids in. And, you know, we feel that we're doing that, and we're hoping to continue to do that.
Hey, Keith. What kind of wrestling coach would Pat Narduzzi be?
I don't know. That's a good question. Man, I think you'd have to ask him that. You know, football is quite a bit different than wrestling, you know. So it's, you know, like, first of all, it's a lot longer. You know, the games are a lot longer. So I don't know if you could, you know, be as calm as maybe I would need to be in a wrestling match. I mean, a wrestling match is only 7 minutes, so he's out there for a lot longer than I am, and usually in front of a lot more people. So,
well, I know this much, you know, he's got that tough guy mentality on that defensive side. It just seems to me that from a mentality standpoint, he would be right in tune with what you guys are doing for a living.
Yeah, I think so. I know, you know, there's been a lot of wrestlers that have gone on that do pretty well in football. You know, just come to mind, Stephen Neal's a famous, you know, football player that was also a world champion wrestler and national champion. So there's a couple stories like that. And I think that the two sports certainly do, translate as far as, the mental toughness you need and the work ethic.
By the way, wrestling in the state of Pennsylvania is such a big deal, isn't it? I mean, I know that everybody's got a different culture in the ACC footprint, but I would just assume from high school to college and beyond, it's a really important sport for the state.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of our advantages is being in Pittsburgh, is this is a kind of a hotbed for high school wrestling. And Ohio's really good too. You know, we're right next to Ohio. But a lot of the ACC wrestling teams have Pennsylvania kids on their team. Everybody knows that this is a, you know, Pennsylvania's where to go, to find the top talent. So it's very competitive in recruiting. But like I said, it's an advantage for us because we get to be around these kids and try to really get to know them.
Keith Cavan, head coach at Pitt for wrestling. Thanks for the time. Good luck in the duels against Virginia. Appreciate you joining us here on Packer and Durham.
All right. Thank you guys for having me.
Keith Cavan, great to visit with him. By the way, I said earlier, Charlottesville, again, the match, the duels tonight are in Pittsburgh. So we look forward to having that Virginia, of course, on the road at Louisville in basketball. So. There you
ACC
have it.
Network Friday nights, the duels.
Sean Kenny, Rock Harrison there for you.
I keep telling you, man. The Rock
and Sean
Kenny. Raccoon Valley. The boys get it done now.
Hey, Drew, Josh, can we get Sean Kenny or Rock Harrison on this show next week, maybe? Just for Raccoon Valley Radio, Sean Kenny? That's what you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Anyway, isn't it? Yeah.
Part of it.
I know. That's exactly right.
But that, you know, that's now become, and this is why I sent you guys a text a couple weeks ago. That this has got a chance. There's some great characters now. And the league's good. You got four top 10 teams.
I'm looking forward to seeing the heavyweight division. I think that'll be fun.
Big boy's getting after.
Yeah, there you go.
You're like me, you're wrestling after a rack of ribs.
Yeah.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
It's never really disappointed, the game. They're just great, great games. So to be a part of that as a player or a coach, you should be honored.
Two great teams, great programs, competing like crazy. I hope the good guys win at the end.
Back up for the shot, and then gets taken down. And Tyler's nose is bloody.
Got a chance. He lets it fly. Oh, no! Down the wing.
That one is no good. Oh, recovered Marvin. He scores.
We will take the shot.
Will he make a bigger impact?
Rose. Yes. Oh, unbelievable.
An incredible finish here in Chapel Hill.
One-on-one.
What a great job. What a terrific job in transition.
A three-pointer.
Are you serious? They're celebrating at Franklin Street, baby, down in Chapel Hill with that one. There's no greater rivalry in college sports than Duke and North Carolina.
It's go time tomorrow night. There's no doubt about that. Jerseys and all.
By the way, we'll get to more of your phone calls, obviously, on this. Coach K and Tom Rinaldi coming up here in just a second. Just a sidebar to the fashion plates that we've been discussing here in hour one.
Breaking news.
I wasn't crazy when I told you this.
Well, you were spot on. It's a rule.
The NCAA rule book specifically says that there has to be a number on the front of the jersey. Now, there are all sorts of waivers and other things that can happen. And you saw earlier this year, State Carolina played in red and light blue. Those are not State and Carolina. Those are contrasting colors. Duke's royal blue, Carolina's light blue. Really contrasting colors.
No.
So we'll see where this goes. But the rule book says in the NCAA that they have to have numbers on the front and they have to have contrasting colors. We'll see what happens. Not saying it won't happen. Not saying they won't run on the floor tomorrow night wearing the jerseys. But I'm just going to tell you, if they show up like that, like the pictures we showed you earlier, somebody's gotten some paperwork done somewhere.
Is that a double technical, double secret probation? What happens with something like that? How about just going back and wearing what you guys wear, which is pure? Quit with the burlap nonsense. Well, I'm really, those are ugly.
You're really the get off my lawn guy.
No, morning. Those are ugly.
Okay.
But I tell you what, I would actually like to hear somebody call in and defend those. Because I think I speak for the masses here. I think both sides are looking at those going,
you speak for the masses.
Yikes,
I'm sure you do. I mean, you know me, we'd much rather see the retro stuff than the, you know.
No doubt.
And that is retro, technically.
That stinks. It's bad retro.
All right.
Good retro and bad retro.
Let's move along, shall we? Jay Billis, by the way, top of the hour. Winner of the Holly Farms Award.
I bet you Billis thinks they think. They look like garbage.
All right. Great opportunity to hear from a documentary Tom Rinaldi did. And of course, everything he does is fabulous.
Awesome.
He did Champions, a coaching conversation. He sat down with several coaches in the ACC that had won national championships. And he talked to Mike Krzyzewski, obviously, who's won a bunch of them. And they started the conversation with what is significant and why is it significant when Duke and Carolina play?
I'm doing what I wanted to do since I was 16.
On the court, you listen and you see, but you do.
I felt that Duke was right for me, and I hope I'm right for Duke.
What motivates me is the next moment.
Duke is back, the top college basketball elite.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. Because I'm doing what I love to do at the best place that you can do it.
What's the difference between an opponent and a rival?
For me, none. None. Absolutely none. You know, if you have to get up more to play North Carolina than you do for another opponent, then you don't deserve to coach the team that's playing North Carolina.
Wow.
Yeah. When I first got here, we had, you know, Dean Smith.
Oh, Mike, let me interrupt. Yeah. How do you think the Duke brethren will react to that?
I don't really care. You know, no, I mean, really, like, why would you expect less of a performance against another? Why would the opponent determine your level of performance? I don't understand that. Our level of performance should be terrific all the time. And when we meet that so-called rival, we've understood what it is to play at that level. And maybe then the atmosphere of the game lifts you to a higher level. You know, when we got here and we lost a lot to everybody, including North Carolina, we finally beat them. And our bookstore put out bumper stickers that had the score of the game. And I went right away and said, take them off. Don't, you know, I said, never have a bumper sticker or anything that says another opponent. Only have a bumper sticker if we've won the ACC, the Final Four, national. Don't ever, ever do that.
What was the result?
Yeah, they never have done it. So, and we've won a lot of championships. Your championship can't be beating your rival. I mean, I don't you know, even when I was a cadet at West Point.
Beating Navy.
No, when I was a senior and I was captain of the basketball, the freshman would come up and beat Navy. And my company, I said, look, don't do that. When you salute me, say, beat everybody. Because then when we play Navy, we want to beat them too. And it's okay if more people are interested. I'm interested in beating everyone.
You have been involved in two of the greatest rivalries, though, Mike, across all sport.
I'm not going to fall into the trap of beating a rival be a championship. All I know is there are no banners in Cameron Indoor Stadium for beating a rival. There are a heck of a lot of banners for being number one in the country. Final Four, ACC champions, and there are five that are national champions. And they got there because we were trying to win every game. I think it's just fundamentally simple to think that way.
We could go a long time on this conversation, couldn't we?
Well, when we had Kay on yesterday,
he said it.
He kind of said it again.
Yeah.
We kind of readdressed that with him. And I think he's right, to be honest with you. I mean, if you're going to be an elite program or an elite team, I don't care what the sport is, you get there by beating everybody. And when, you know, that target's on your chest, you catch everybody's best shot. Yeah. And if you only get up for the big games, hey, that's fine. But that means you're also going to stub your toe against teams you got no business losing to. That's not what elite teams do. So what he make, what he says makes – I'm kind of with him. Makes a ton of sense. It's no different than us doing a show. You can't just say, hey, listen, we got Jay Billis coming on. Oh, man, we're going to be good that day. But you got to be, you know, at least attempt to be good every day. He's right.
Try
Speaking
to do it
of Jay Billis.
Try to do it in good health, too.
Well, we have not done – again, I'm to blame here because I've gotten everybody sick. I have. Mrs. P, Robert, you, Chester.
Yeah.
Half the neighborhood. Charlotte.
I sense your HOA bill is going to go up.
Well, they don't like me anyhow. Wait till I put that Clemson House sign on the top of the roof. We finally find it from Radakovich down there in Tigertown.
Sounds like you've gone to the president on it. All right. Jay Billis coming up. Also, Patrick Williams of Florida State, who had a great game the other night against North Carolina. And also Lars Tiffany, all in the 8 o'clock hour. A great Friday show, by the way.
And don't forget, you're going to see a guy in the last hour, and Fred Kiger, and you're going to go, who are these guys talking about? And you're going to see him. You're going to go, oh, yeah, that's the dude I see all
the
time.
The guy
I
see at the scores table.
Right. Fred's loaded with stories.
Yeah, and he's the best.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.